Hey, everybody, Basement Sports Podcast, NFL draft post-mortem.
Well, for some teams.
For some teams.
Like mine.
But a post-celebration for the Steelers, and what about the Cowboys?
We'll get there. Anyway, guys, all I can say is what's up, my bitches. Thanks for listening to the live draft podcast we did. We appreciate it. We do have a T-shirt winner who did successfully pick the lineman out of Pittsburgh. He had four pieces of paper filled out before he scratched one out.
Right. We told him, I was like, man, you've got to just come up with one. Like, just give us one, all right?
He even wrote down his first pick was a trade back.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
Right, that doesn't count, you jackass. We want to.
That is great.
Hey, Scott Startori joining us tonight. Scott, how are you?
Greg, I'm well. As always, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on here. And it was an honor and a pleasure to be a part of a real small part of your draft coverage from that place down in Greensboro. I just thought it was fantastic. You guys got the opportunity to as much work and as much love as you have for this craft to see you guys and know you were live with a bunch of yinzers in the room, right, screaming and drinking beer. Was I had a smile on my face the whole night.
Yeah, appreciate that. Fun. We did have fun.
Yeah, big shout out to the 333 Club in Greensburg and Jay, the owner, and
West Ottawa.
Jake was there pouring drinks, and everybody that was there. We had a great time, great atmosphere. Got home late. I was tired that next morning, but boy, did we have fun.
I fell asleep during Friday's draft. I made it about 17 picks, and I'm on the couch. I just got a shower and gone.
Right after, I went home right after the Steelers picked Zach Frazier. Then I'm like, okay, I can go home and go to bed. I'm not going to be able to be awake for the third round.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
great.
Talk about that in a minute. But it was fun, and we're going back, and we have another place in Greensburg that we'll be going to. We'll announce that when the date's set.
All right. Do we guys want to get right into it?
Let's start with
the Steelers.
Let's just start with the Steelers because they were the best draft of all 32 teams.
That's how you ranked them.
Absolutely. Okay. It wasn't even close.
Okay. So first round pick, Troy Fatanu.
Should not have been there.
Right. But there's an interesting. I'll get to this interesting article that I saw.
Okay.
But you did, Duty, you did like the pre-draft stuff, a lot of this, especially with the offensive linemen. What did you see with this kid?
I loved him. He was one of my favorite ones in the draft. Some guys were better pass blockers than run blockers. You had a couple big guys that were inexperienced, Dallas Cowboys, and they picked one. And this kid was just flat out good at both pass blocking and run blocking. And he's got a little bit of meanness to him. I think he is a perfect Pittsburgh Steeler. Now, what remains to be seen, and I wouldn't put it by the Steelers to screw this up, Scott, if you want to comment when I'm done here, I'm not sure they're going to play him in the right spot. So we'll see.
Tell me more about that. What do you think?
I would put him at right tackle and then move Broderick Jones to left. I still think they like Dan Moore, so I'm guessing that he's not even going to start. Not at the beginning of the year. Nope.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because coming into the draft and watching the film on him, and I thought that he would be an All-Pro guard.
Absolutely.
The reason I say that is his feet are amazingly
great
quick.
Great footwork.
Yeah. He is a technician as it relates to the craft of the offensive line. So I think, regardless of where they put him, he's going to be an All-Pro. I just believe that. Now, I've read some things that actually have him on the left side. On the left side,
yeah,
maybe starting, maybe depth, and you know, keep Broderick Jones on the right side. So
I think
he upgraded that entire locker room as it relates to leadership and as it relates to the craft of being an offensive lineman. I'll say one more thing, and then I'll turn it back to you, Greg, is that there's one name that comes to mind right now that I wish was a part of this Steelers organization. That's Mike Munchak. If he was here, could take this entire group and make them the best offensive line in the National Football League.
No,
he's that great of a coach, and to have had these guys learn from him, that's about the only thing that bothers me right now is Mike Munchak is not on this roster or not on this coaching staff.
Well, and again, I think because of his feet, he can play left tackle. I just think that especially head coach loves, what's his face, the left, Dan Moore. He just loves him. Like I think, and PFF thought he was graded very poorly all year, their worst lineman, and I really thought that this was a no-brainer. Put him at left tackle if you want. He has the feet, and then you got Broderick Jones on the right. So
Mike, Mel Kiper, who's one of my favorite of all time. I mean, he started this whole stuff probably back in the 80s.
Yeah, he
was
really
amazing created this cottage industry of the draft, pretty much. He had him on the left side. He could play anywhere on the offensive line, is what he said. And he's a Baltimore Ravens fan, right? He doesn't even like the Steelers, he's hard on the Steeler draft. But this
every
one
year, the Ravens get an A-plus draft.
One of his favorite, if not his favorite, pick in the entire National Football League draft. He's got him playing where they need him, and someone's going to get hurt. So I think the guy will play this year. We start week one. I don't know about that.
Yeah, and remember, the last thing I heard Mel Kiper say when they were wrapping up the draft completely after all seven rounds, he was bitching because he thought Pittsburgh had the best draft, and it pained him to say it because he's such a Raven fan.
He really is, and he gave them an A. I think he threw an A-minus in there just to stick it to us. But he gave us an A on his draft in the entire draft.
Ass.
So, Greg, you are a huge fan of this guy coming into the draft. I think when they took you were as happy as anybody, if not happiest, whenever they got the opportunity to draft him.
Yeah, I was tickled. Like, and Duty and I were there doing that live, and I mentioned, I was like, I cannot believe he's still there. I said, it's got to be Fatanu. It has to be him.
I mean,
like,
he's a top 10 pick, and he went to 20.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's ridiculous. But, and then here's the worst part. Every year since Dave DeCastro was picked, they get a guy that's supposed to be a top 10 or the best guard in the last 10 years, best lineman they've seen in years, and they always fall to Pittsburgh, right? So I'm thinking,
David DeCastro.
They did it again.
Yeah.
They did it again. He fell to them. They shouldn't have got it. They always do it. And then what happened in round two?
Yeah.
Guess who dropped to them? The perfect
Frazier
center that they needed.
Right.
Four-time state wrestling champion. He is the perfect Pittsburgh Steeler at center.
Right. Right. And the thing, so we had this conversation. How in the hell did Fatanu fall? Like this far?
Too many quarterbacks.
So giving credit to Alex Kozura of Steelers Depot, he wrote an article today online talking about Fatanu's that he dropped. So I got to read this because I love this. And again, Alex Kozura does great work at Steelers Depot. So I guess Troy Fatanu was on a radio show in Seattle. The name of the radio show is Softy and Dick.
Why didn't we come up with that?
I know, like the Softy and Dick podcast.
Dude, I'd have been either one of them. I would have been either one of them if we'd have come up with that.
But he said, so they asked him, like, why do you think you fell that far to the Steelers? And Fatanu believes that teams leaked injury concerns to get him to fall.
Okay.
So he said,
well,
this is a quote.
Well,
I honestly have no clue. I talked to my agent, and basically he was saying that a team later in the draft might have leaked it to try to get me to fall. Fatanu's supposed injury issue came out days ahead of the draft, was medically flagged prospects in Albert Breer's Monday morning quarterback. Quote, this is from Albert Breer. Washington offensive tackle Troy Fatanu's knee was flagged. That one was described to me as a sort of issue that shouldn't be a problem in the short term, but could wind up impacting his longevity in the pros. But on the surface, there wasn't much to back it up. Like, Fatanu was healthy throughout his career and pre-draft process. Now, a long-term concern might not be so easy to see on tape, but like he said, the last time he had dealt with his knee was in 2021. Never missed any games, never missed any practices due to it, so it was kind of random. But the other things that they bring up as far as like the reason he slid, six quarterbacks were selected in the top 12.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And then you have Atlanta inexplicably picking Michael Penix. Okay. So, I mean, again, like you were talking about David DeCastro, these players sometimes just fall to Pittsburgh, and Troy Fatanu did.
And it was a perfect match, in my opinion. So let's just say his knee is bad, which I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
But if it is, and it's going to affect his long-term status on the line. So Pittsburgh will only win two more Super Bowls until he has to retire.
Right.
Show me an offensive lineman that plays football who doesn't have a bum knee. I mean, all the high school playing, all the college, all the practices.
Right.
I'd like to see the percentages of these players that have had surgery on one knee. If it's not a chronic thing, with what these physicians can do with scalpels these days is pretty darn good. I remember back in the day, you tore an ACL, your career was over.
These guys today, they
bounce back. I just think that that's, if that's what ended up happening, and you never know what these guys is as it relates to the injury rumors, then, you know, shame on the people that let him go and didn't take him.
Well, but the thing is, you watch his tape, he doesn't even wear those bionic knee braces. He doesn't even wear knee pads. He's like,
and he moves laterally. He moves up and down.
There's no problem with his movement. So, you know, maybe like every 3 years, he's got to go in and get it cleaned up, you know, during the off season. Big whoop. You know, I mean, but I think that was a hell of a pick. You already, Duty, you already mentioned the Steelers' second-round pick.
Who also fell to them.
Who also fell to them. And, Scott, you and I talked about this. You and I were talking on Friday night. So, full disclosure, my wife and I went out to dinner. And
You ran into Frazier.
I ran into Frazier in Pittsburgh on Saturday.
That's
a different story. Yeah. But we're at a place that we're actually going to be broadcasting from in Greensburg, and if you called the Head Keeper, and it's a great place if you've never been there. It's a tapas restaurant, but it's like Texas sized tapas. Like it's not like two bites. It's big.
Without a mention, they got like a whole wall full of beer.
Yeah, they got like the greatest beer selection in Greensburg. Plus, they have an outdoor patio, and it was a nice night. So we were like sitting at the patio bar having a nightcap, and There's two screens. One's an NHL game, and the other one's an NBA game. And I told my buddy, the bartender, I'm like, look, you got to switch one of these to the NFL draft. I can't have this. The Steelers are coming up on the clock. And I'm sitting there, and I think everybody sitting outside in that patio thought I was insane, because you should have heard the scream I let out when they selected Zach. Well, I let out a scream when the Commanders didn't pick Zach Frazier.
Yeah.
Before, and Zach Frazier was sitting there, and I'm watching that little icon on the screen where it says, Steelers on the clock. 2 seconds later, the pick is in.
Yeah, well, you know they had it in their hand.
Yeah. So,
Greg, I hope you never meet another one of our draft picks again, because the last draft pick you met was in the Greater Pittsburgh Airport. The outside linebacker from Kentucky.
Bud Dupree.
Bud Dupree. Greg met him on his way to Pittsburgh, and the guy didn't make a tackle after that. So.
Well, I'll say this. I really didn't meet Zach Frazier. I met a guy who looked a lot like him and was about as big as him, but it wasn't Zach Frazier. I thought it was him for a second, but it wasn't. So Zach is safe. I really didn't meet Zach, but I looked guy who could have been his doppelganger. But, like, Duty, you do a lot of the pre-work on these guys. What do you think of Zach Frazier?
He's absolutely a perfect pick. I wanted him in Dallas. I wanted both these guys in Dallas. Here's the thing. Frazier was a 4-year state wrestling champ, right?
Right.
His offensive line coach was on The Fan earlier this week.
Okay.
And they were interviewing him. They said, this kid, some reporter asked him in the draft process, you know, what do you like to do when you're not playing football? And you know what? His coach said he lied. He made shit up like hunting and fishing. He said, this kid is in a facility at all times.
Wow.
He's loyal to the team. All he does is work, go to the weight room. He's a wrestler, and he says that now there are guys that can lift more weight than him, but there is nobody because of his wrestling background, with his core strength.
Yeah.
Well, if he gets his hands on you, You're done. I don't care if it's Aaron Donald. I don't care if it's anybody else. When this kid's core strength grabs a hold of you, you're done. So he's a perfect Pittsburgh Steeler. He's going to start from day one, and he's a 10-year starter.
Scott, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, no question. He's a Pittsburgh kid. I mean, just look at this kid. And, you know, everybody loves our city. I know we take a lot of pride in the toughness of the people in this area. And this kid fits right in. And I'd looked at a lot of film on him since the draft. And his feet are amazing for someone that's 6'3", 310 pounds. So what I did was, because in my mind, I'm like, well, that's great, you know. But he's not going to be Marquise Pouncey. Then I went back and looked at Pouncey's size. They're about the same size.
Yeah,
I mean, Frazier's 6'3", 310. Pouncey might have had a half an inch on him, and he was 304. So the film that I saw, to your point, Duty, the dude is a technician, and he is a mauler. There were some big dudes he was responsible for getting out of the way, and he would just throw him to the ground. I mean, he is an absolute monster. You see the interview, and you just see how massive he is. Upper body strength, any pressure that he got in any of the highlights that I saw, he didn't even bend backwards. The kid just really has it. And I expect this kid to be an all pro. And I think you can make an argument that he was a first round draft pick.
He absolutely was. And his coach, the story he told was, we are playing somebody. I don't remember who it was, or I don't think the coach remembered. And he said they were doing a couple stunts early in the game. So he came off they punted and they, West Virginia punted, and they came off the field, and the coach said, listen, you got to watch out for this stunt. He goes, coach, they almost got me the first time. He says, they're not getting me again. Mm-hmm. So the next time that they had the ball, so they tried to do a defensive tackle, went wide, and a linebacker came in behind him. And the linebacker got about to his right shoulder coming from the other side, right? Like, he's almost by him. He grabbed him, and next thing you know, this linebacker is on his back 5 feet. 5 feet to the left of where the quarterback was standing. He said he just whooped him. And then he came off the field the second time. He said, is that what you wanted to see, coach? And the coach is like, yeah, that's good.
Well, I have another story to share.
Center. You know, you hear that a lot, and it's very rare that happens. But this kid will be the starting center come September.
There's no doubt.
I agree. The other story, I remember I was watching this game on television. They were playing Baylor at WVU. And you know the rule, within a certain amount of time at the end of the first half and the end of the second half, if you're hurt, your team either loses a timeout or there's time run off the clock.
Ten-second
runoff. He broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
He basically dragged himself off the field so the team wouldn't have to burn a timeout.
Well, they didn't have any timeouts.
Well, so they were to run. They were to
and
run
the clock
time off
was
the
running.
Clock. Right. Yep. So, I mean, again, and Scott, you and I talked about this. It's that awareness.
Yeah.
That game awareness, too. Like, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, that's a perfect
He really does. And I think there's one attribute that I was going to wait to make this comment, but I was thinking now that our first two draft picks have is humility, right? We know that locker room has had a lot of challenges at times, and I think it was part of the reason why the team struggled the last few years is because there weren't a lot of leaders in that locker room once that generation of players left. And you look at these first two guys, they completely changed the offensive level. They're going to completely change the mentality of that team to a humble – get after it mentality, not what you can do for me, but what can I do for the team? And you can just feel it in their interviews they've done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those deals that if you listen to them, if you were blind and you listen to the interview, you wouldn't know who said it, Fatana or Frazier. They're identical.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's just move on to another pick in round three fell to them.
Let's stay on day two. First pick, the Steelers had 2 third-round picks. The first pick, Michigan wide receiver Roman Wilson. And Duty, if you could see him, we're not on YouTube yet. You can see him shaking his head. So
go ahead,
start ranting. Go ahead.
First of all, Omar Khan can eat a dick. That's what I'm going to
do. I'm not going to agree with you on the
nomination. But
you're just saying that because you're a Cowboys fan.
This kid was a second round pick. he's going to be a slot guy for these guys. And if you listen to all the rumors right now, Pittsburgh is in trade talks with a very good wide receiver. They call him one of the better playmakers in the NFL. Some people say it's Terry McLaurin out of Washington who wants out. That could be the Brandon Ayuk guy. I don't think it's Ayuk.
I don't think it's Ayuk.
I think it's McLaurin or here's another guy, and I'm a Cowboy guy. Brandon Cooks is going to cost Dallas $11 million on the cap this year.
All right.
Okay? They just drafted Flournoy out of Southeast Missouri State or something, a kid that's like 6'4 and runs another 4'4.
Right.
Right? Hell of an athlete. And they signed a couple other receivers that they liked in the last 2 years. Tolbert, and there's another kid that they really like. So, and you got CeeDee Lamb. So they got, I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Cooks might come over. And skipping ahead, they also took Logan Lee, who I loved, a defensive tackle out of Iowa later in the draft. Is Ogunjobi trade bait?
Well, here's so just, you know, what you said about, you know, about them getting Roman Wilson and, you know, everything else that's going on. You know, the Steelers needed a receiver, so we weren't shocked when it was a receiver. The shock was that Roman Wilson was still there.
Absolutely. He wasn't a third-round
pick. He ran a 4.39 40-yard dash.
That's not bad.
You know, he played in a system in Michigan that ran the ball more than they threw. Against Penn State, they didn't throw the ball the entire second half last year. Guess who was blocking downfield? And that's another attribute. Roman Wilson, he loves to block.
You don't go to Michigan if you don't block as a receiver,
right?
Jim Harbaugh didn't put up with that.
What did you see in him do in him, Scott?
Well, I tell you what, it's not so much what I saw in him. Steve Smith saw in him, and you know Chris Sims saw in him, and I mean Sims graded him out as a first rounder. I mean all the cliches that you hear, he can stick his foot in the ground. Right. He's a great route runner. He's not worried about catching 80 balls because he played at Michigan. I think Steve Smith played at Michigan, too. They never throw the football at Michigan. Right. They're always
even when they
the
had
football.
Brady.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of film on the kid. He's got great hands. He when the ball's up in the air, it's his ball. He's greedy for the ball, which I really love that. Plus, he's the 4.3 guy, 4.39 guy, ran, and he can blow by you. So you cannot go press on this guy without the concern of him blowing by you. And Sims absolutely loved the guy. If you see his lower body, and I'll do something that's not fair at all. You should never do things like this with new players, but I'm going to throw the word out there, Hines Ward. We've not had this physical of a receiver on our team since Hines Ward left, and that was probably 10 years ago. I don't know how long he's been gone, but he is, in my opinion, a blend of Steve Smith, Hines Ward, Anquan Boldin with faster speed. That's what I think of him, and he's a pedigree. They won a title. He's one of the reasons they won the title up there. It's not just because he happened to be on the team. It's just he puts that kind of effort in. Love this kid and think he'll be an immediate starter in the slot.
There's no doubt. And here's the stat on him. He dropped one ball this year.
Yeah.
How many did Deontay drop?
He dropped one getting off the bus.
Per half.
Dropped two in the locker room.
This kid will not be afraid to go over the middle. And DJ had some great hands, had some skills. You put him over the middle, forget about it. He peaked every single time he peaked. I'm not saying I wouldn't peak. I'm just saying the National Football League guy who plays in the slot cannot peak, and he peaked every time and dropped every pass. This kid will not do that.
I just want to make a comment about the Brandon Ayuk rumors. My thought is what the 49ers are going to do, because there have been rumors about Ayuk and Debo. Okay, both of them. Here's what I think they're going to do, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the last year of Debo's deal.
It is.
Okay, and Ayuk has two more years left on his deal. All right. I think they're just going to go with it. I think they're going to say, okay, we made it to the Super Bowl last year with these guys. You know, we're going to go ahead and hold on to these guys unless, you know, let's face it, unless somebody offered up something mind-blowing. And they shored up the wide receiver room in their draft by picking Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing out of Arizona.
Yeah, all right. Pearsall's from Florida, right?
Pearsall's from Florida. So my thought is, I think they're going to stand pat unless we get closer to training camp and, like, somebody blows them away with an offer. I think it'd be have to be an offer that the Steelers will not give, all right? But they bring these two young kids in. You know, Pearsall might step in as a third, and that's a hell of a third because that's your first-round pick, and develop them. Next year, Debo walks, and then they try. I think they're actually going to try to sign Ayuk long term, but I could be wrong.
Well, he's a $25 million a year player if they sign him.
Right.
But remember this, the NFL has the cap space they have. They have pre June 1st cuts, and they have post June 1st cuts. And most cuts after June 1st are the majority of the cap savings.
Right.
So I think they are going to get rid of Ayuk and replace him with...
But they'd want to trade. They're going to get
gonna
something
wait.
Back for him. They're going to want to wait.
Yep. So they're going to trade, but they don't have to do it till post June 1st.
Okay.
So I do think they're going to get rid of Ayuk. I don't think that's the rumor. I think the rumor could be McLaren out of Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. I have an opinion on that. I think it's going to be Cooks. I think it's going to be Cooks. And don't forget this, that the 49ers love Juwan Jennings. They love him. They signed him to a one-year deal, $660,000, which is a bargain. But they love this kid.
Yep.
Anytime he got in the game last year, because Debo was down for a while, Jennings stood on his head for that team. So it could be one of those guys. I hope the Steelers don't make a move because that would be a ton of draft capital. And I just don't think the way Pittsburgh plays, you can pay Ayuk $18 million a year.
Yeah, it's not going to be Ayuk. He's closer. He wants like $25 million a year with all these receiver deals that are getting done. And I think Ayuk is a number one receiver. Don't get me wrong. That guy is as reliable as Brock Purdy had on the whole team. He was always the guy, especially on third down, that he went to. But it's too much money. Pittsburgh's not going to pay him. So I do think it's Cooks or McLaren.
Except in the game when I bet him to have a certain number of receptions and he had zero. Dickhead.
If you're going to give me a choice between McLaren and Cooks, I'll take McLaren all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think he's underutilized. I think Brandon Cooks has been around the league in a long time. He was a fast guy, right? He was a 4.4.
Yeah, he still is.
He's still got the speed.
He's straight line speed. He does not get in and out of breaks like he used to.
No, not at all. Well, we want to give enough time to the second third-round pick that the Steelers had.
Oh, we got another one?
Yeah, we got
another
one.
Oh, shut up.
This kid out of North Carolina State. I think this is another duty Dallas Cowboys wish list guy.
He was my third linebacker.
Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State. So you talked
about...
Okay, so go ahead.
The injuries, right? That's why he fell.
Right.
But double-digit surgeries on this kid. And it must have really affected him, too, because he ran a 4.4 at the combine. this kid is big. He can cover people from the linebacker position on third down. He runs to the ball like no. He's got a hell of a motor. Now, if his knees hold up, this kid is a three-down linebacker who made over 130 tackles last year.
6'4", 233 pounds.
That's all right.
So
what did he run?
He ran a 4.43.
Yeah. How many tackles do you have? Do you have that on there?
I can pull it
Let
up.
Let me tell you, 130 something.
His 10-yard split at the combine was 1.54 seconds, 34.5-inch vertical jump, and a 9'11" broad jump.
I don't even stand up in 1.8 seconds.
That's very funny. I admittedly did not know a lot about the kid. But I went to, and again, we watch a lot of film. We watch a lot of film. And I watched the highlights of him. And he's so fast that I had no idea he was 6'3".
Yeah, right? 6'4".
234 pounds. 6'4". I had, because he plays with such aggression and speed. And, you know, I couldn't help but... It reminded me of T.J. Watt. It just reminded me with the athleticism and the way that he played. It actually blew me away. Where I looked at every piece of film that he had because I couldn't believe that he fell that long into the draft. And by the way, guess who else, what other legendary Steeler did not have an ACL? And that's Hines Ward. Hines Ward had an injury as a child and didn't have that ACL. And I would say he had a 14-year career, and I believe he's a Hall of Famer. So
he should
be
in
the Hall. I get the concerns, you know, as a third-round draft pick. If you get 4 or 5 years from the guy, I think it's a complete success, right?
Greg, who did you say he reminded you of?
And I told Scott this, he reminds me of Ryan Shazier.
Absolutely he does.
He just the speed.
Fly into the ball.
The instinct, the quickness. And Scott, you and I were talking about this on the phone the other day. There was stuff that I saw in film. You know how they talk about like quarterbacks looking off defensive backs and stuff like that? This guy fools quarterbacks into throwing the ball where they think it's in a safe place. Like, yeah, with his movement and his knowledge of the game and reading the eyes of the quarterback, I saw several instances where he was able to play the quarterback into throwing it where it shouldn't have been. But then I also saw, I'm blanking on the name of the receiver. They played Notre Dame, and this Notre Dame receiver is one of the fastest guys on their team, ran a slant route and broke past the second level and was headed toward the end zone. The defensive cornerbacks didn't catch him.
Oh, he took a bad
angle. The safeties didn't catch him.
Nope. Caught from behind.
Peyton Wilson caught him from behind.
Yep. With a 15-yard head start. Yep, he did.
Yeah,
I saw the same play.
Incredible stuff.
Okay, I'll give you another name that feel free to laugh, but I'll give you another name that I would compare this kid to. And that's Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu had tremendous closing speed, probably the fastest closing speed I've seen in any Steeler in a long, long time. This kid here is so aggressive and assertive that I would throw Polamalu in that mix too as it relates to his football sense and his ability to want to take your head off when he finally gets there.
Yeah, and so when we're talking about the Steelers and the linebacker position, they really haven't been good since Shazier's injury.
Yeah.
And then this kid, who, if he wouldn't have had 10 surgeries, would have been a first-rounder. That's how good he is. I would have had him as him and the kid from Texas A&M, Cooper, would have been right up there as the best linebackers in the draft. And I told Greg that when I was doing my research that – there's a chart that Todd McShay put out about 10 years ago, and what he did is he takes all the times for 40s and broad jump and vertical, 20-yard cone and three-cone drill and 20-yard stuff. And he says if you can get around these numbers for each drill, everybody that's done these in the past have become 10-year starters and Hall of Famers. Well, when I did all the linebacker research and I looked at him, he had the most of those categories filled out. He had 10 surgeries. So the fact that this guy fell to where he did is once again Pittsburgh. And you got to give credit to Omar Khan.
Yeah.
Is it Whitel Scott that came over from Philly?
Yep.
Is that his name?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, these guys are looking at the same chart I am because I can tell by these teams who are picking. And Philly's another one. They use the same chart. Because every time I start people according to this chart and I come in and tell Greg, these are the guys you got to look at, they pick them. Like, that's who they pick. So this Pittsburgh draft, I'm going to tell you right now that if I still don't think they're good at quarterback. I am not a Russell Wilson fan the last couple years. But getting back to that Roman Wilson pick, and I was going to say this and forgot, when Russell Wilson does his move around the pocket, gets outside, there's one guy that runs a 4-3-3 that's just going to go deep or head to the sideline. Those two are going to have a connection. I think he's perfect for him. And I just think that this draft between Omar Khan and everybody in that room, they just got to be, you know, I don't think they slept yet. They're too happy to sleep.
I saw a tape of Roman Wilson – last year,
with Kim Kardashian. Did you see a sex tape with Kim Kardashian?
No, I did not. J.J. McCarthy, like, I watched some all 22 tape inside the red zone when they did pass. And when McCarthy would get flushed, watching Roman Wilson move in the end zone.
Well, imagine he, covering a guy and you're both standing still because the play's over, basically.
Right.
And then your quarterback breaks out and he just heads to the sideline with 4.33 speed. How are you going to anticipate that? Right. He's got to have two steps on you if he breaks first.
I mean, yeah, but we, so, you know, and so we got Wilson and Wilson law firm in the third round.
And sounds like a T-shirt to me.
Well, and some people are saying, like, Roman Wilson for Offensive Rookie of the Year and Peyton Wilson as Defensive Rookie of the Year, which isn't a far stretch.
I think you're going to see some one guy named Frazier is going to win Offensive Player of the Year.
The what? The center?
You know, it's interesting, guys. I mean, because you hear a lot of people or a lot of people invoke God into their belief system. And I know a lot of people that invoke God at times that are jerks. So I don't really put a lot of stock in it. But when you hear this guy talk, and he talked about the Lord gifting him all the adversity he had, I want to thank him for all the adversity that I've been given so I could overcome that to be where I'm at right now. I believe the dude. Like the way he said it and his approach to it, I believe the dude. And I think that there's going to be an elevation of the accountability in that locker room. And I think they really needed it because there was a two me first mentality started back with AB and filtered its way through. And DJ's one of them and he's gone. And I think this, those last three draft picks we just talked about all are going to elevate that culture on behalf of the team. And I know I'm reinvigorated because I got a little bit disappointed the way the culture dropped, I thought, you know, for about a 5 or 6 year period. But I'm excited because I think it's back. And you win with culture. You do.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get average quarterback play, they're going to be right there for this division win with Baltimore.
I'm actually going to put some money down on the Steelers winning the division just for the heck of it because they're the lowest. They have the worst odds.
No, they're better than Cleveland.
Right now. No, they've got worse odds than Cleveland. All right. So I'm throwing some money down on that.
Then I just nominated our Eat a Dick of the Week, whoever the odds maker was that put Cleveland ahead.
Believe it or not, Greg, speaking of putting money down on things, I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I'm definitely putting money on it because Pittsburgh, the over-under in Vegas in win totals is 7.5.
I thought it was 8, yeah. You got to go over that.
7.5, and unless it moves, dude, maybe it moved to 8. I'm not sure, but it was 7.5, and this doesn't look like a 7-win team to me.
No, and also, Scott, because
go ahead,
I want to do it. Well, here's the thing. The Steelers are going to make a wide receiver move.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be significant. So you know that something's going to might move when that change is made and everything else. So I'm going to go put my bets down now.
Well, yep. Let's just say it right now because I'm sick of hearing it every year. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. And how do they put how do they put a win total at 7 when he's never had a losing season?
Well, that's true.
Don't they play 17 games?
Last time I checked.
17 games. I mean, 17 games. And they got it.
They're going to go 7-10?
No, not happening.
Don't see it. I just don't see it.
And hey, can we just talk about one more guy that they picked who I loved? I don't care about how many picks they have left.
But I want to bring up one that was kind of all their picks was the most controversial. But
go ahead.
So I want to bring up Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State. 6'4", 309.
Dude's a beast, I'm telling you right now.
He's
a guard.
His athleticism score at the combine was the second best out of all guards.
Yeah, he's a beast.
So he tested
well.
He needs
some work. His footwork, he's not good pass protection as he was against blitzes and stunts, but he's a beast and he's mean, and he's a good backup. He'll get into play some reps. He's not going to start.
No, but
maybe in three years.
You've got James Daniels and you've got Seumalo. So you've got time to develop
this kid.
Don't
need him right now.
You don't need him, but I thought, really, he was a solid pickup for the future.
Absolutely.
And that's who you're trying to draft in those later rounds. And I had seen him mentioned on NFL Network. Like, they had talked about this kid.
If he'd have played against better competition.
Yeah, but then again, too, who were you and I talking about, Scott, who the Steelers had taken from, like, South Carolina State years ago? It was the defensive
Jason Hargrave.
Yeah, Javon Hargrave.
That's it.
Javon Hargrave. Yeah.
And that question came out like, oh, he's a star, but he played against lesser competition. Well, he's having a pretty damn good career.
Yeah, he did.
You know.
Yeah.
So where did you look at him at all?
I did. Like I said, he's a good guard.
Go ahead, dude. I'll go next. Go ahead.
I'm good. He's a good guard. He's a little better at run than he is pass because his footwork's a little. He gets a little high. He didn't pick up stunts as well at South Dakota State, so they're worried about a little bit of his speed. But he's a road grader. He's mean. Like, he's got a mean streak. Scott, what do you think?
I'm all about it, and I looked at a lot of his film. He's got very. I think he has quick feet. He may not have athletic feet right now, but I think that his feet can be something that they work on. He's versatile. You can put him inside in a pinch. You can play him outside. I'll remind everybody, Reggie Wells. You probably know that name. Reggie Wells is from South Park. Reggie Wells went to Clarion and got drafted by the Cardinals. He's actually the last guy that had a chance to take down James Harrison in the Super Bowl because he played right guard for the Arizona Cardinals. He played 10 years in the league. I actually ran into him. A friend of mine knows him well and said hello to him. He's a monster of a guy, but he went to Clarion. And last time I checked, IUP is not Iowa, right? It's not SEC. But that's the talent that he had. But he got a shot. Right. He got a shot and played 10 years in the league. And I think this kid's a little bit of a project. If he has to play right away, they probably have issues. But I think somebody gets hurt on the offensive line every year. And it's your depth that matters. I think he'll be a good piece eventually for the depth of the offensive line.
And the last thing I'll say about him, because I want to get on to their other one, their defensive tackle they took, who I loved, his hand punch. Like when a run game, he comes out of that, he will punch. His hand punch is
devastating.
It's very, very good, and his technique is good. The speed of the NFL is going to be a problem at the beginning, and his pass protection. But you know what? Most of the pass protection, that's great on blitzes, but you got to worry about tackles have to worry about that more than guards do. So,
well, let's move on. Next pick was Logan Lee. This is another one of your
sleepers.
He's one of your sleepers.
I told you I love this kid.
Defensive tackle.
If he was a little heavier.
Yeah, but he's got the frame to put on weight.
He does.
6'5", 281. He's probably got another 15 to 20 pounds you could add to him. But let's look at his athletic score. He was ranked fifth in the combine in athletic score of 84, ran a 5.05 40-yard dash. He did 25 reps on the bench press, so he's strong for his, you know, being kind of lanky. But my God, like, he's got, you know, as far as like workout and athleticism, he's got like all the tools. He was for 2 years in a row an honorable mention all Big Ten conference, which is not bad. Like,
no,
you know, so playing for Iowa.
So he went to Iowa as a defensive end, right? That's why his weight's down to 284. Would you say 84 or something like that?
Yeah,
so he ended up being a tweener because that's too big for a pass rusher at 5'0" when you're coming in.
Right.
And they couldn't get him off the field because every guy he went ahead, he beat. The big tackles, he was quicker than them. Mm-hmm. So he is not a one-tech nose guard type guy, but you line him up between the guard and the tackle, he's so quick off the ball. And this is another Pittsburgh guy because his motor never stops. I love this kid.
He's a great five technique player. He's a really good five.
I just love the way he plays. He's a football player. That's all I can say is this kid's a football player. Scott, did you look at him?
I did. I looked at the film on him, and a couple things came to mind. He, you're right, dude. He is a little undersized, but he wants to play at 295. That's what he wants. And he did say he got down to like 285, 286 for the combine. He wanted to be that weight for it, but he can easily put it back on again. What he does is, oh yeah, he's undersized, but he plays heavy. He just plays heavier because you can't move this kid. Not to bring up Steelers of the past, but he reminded me of Brett Kiesel. That's who reminded me, kind of
a
tweener, right? Where are you going to play this guy? Well, you hit the nail on the head. You play football players. If this guy's a football player, he's going to make that roster, and he's going to contribute. You can't move him. From what they ask those guys to do on the internal line with on defense, they don't ask him to rush a passer. They ask him to occupy space and not to be moved. Remember the big snack? He didn't rush anywhere. He didn't pressure anybody, but he does not – you can't move this guy. He plays heavy. He is undersized, but I think he's going to be a contributor for sure.
Well, and remember, they're going to rotate him, right? So he's not. Yep. He's just going to come in and go 100 mile an hour when he comes in the game. He's going to play. Not he's not going to play every snap. He's going to be part of the rotation.
I'll take this kid over Isaiah Loudermilk. Yeah. You know, as far as like rotating somebody in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for pure athleticism, I'll take him over.
And that's why this addition to me means I think Pittsburgh is going to get rid of Ogunjobi because of his cap hit. Or another one of their. I don't think they're going to get Neal. He's not getting rid of him. They're not getting rid of. I think
no,
little,
but they
I think
also
they
have
draft capital to go get the receiver. But, I would trade now if I'm Dallas and I don't have any defensive tackles. I would look at trading Cooks for Ogunjobi or somebody that they want to get rid of straight up. And you wouldn't even cost you draft.
So you got what do we have, Scott? Maybe a year or two left of Cameron Hayward.
Every year I think you have to reevaluate that. I'd say that's fair to say.
But you've got Benton.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Who really like and this goes to like a subheader of drafting wrestlers. And I remember watching a promo on Benton. And him as a wrestler at Wisconsin and not just a football player. And I think that's something to be – now look at Zach Frazier, state champion wrestler.
Yeah.
And these guys
have – Four-time.
Four-time champion, great handwork. And that's like, look, what's the deal when you're playing in the trenches? Hand fighting. What do wrestlers learn to do really well? Hand fight.
And leverage.
And leverage and core strength. And – I think I think Benton got the Steelers' attention and like how good he was as a middle round rookie last year. And now we got Zach Frazier I'm excited about how they're building up the trenches, Scott. Really am on both sides of the
ball. I do. And I keep going back to depth, right? I keep going back to depth. In order to win, it's a passing league now, but there's different ways to pass the football. You've got to run the ball. You got to stop the run. That's what you have to do in November, in December, in the playoffs, which they haven't won a playoff, first-round playoff game in, I think, 8 years or something like that, maybe nine. So the hell with the record of not being under 500. I could care less about that, really. It's just it's winning playoff games. And I think when you can stop the run and run the football, you can win playoff games, Greg.
Well, and, you know, I think it's going to be interesting here because Pittsburgh's not going to be able to keep all these guys. So I think they got 1, 2, 3, 4. They got 5 or 6 kids that are going to make the roster. So they're going to have to cut some people, too. So I'm going to call it now. I'm going to tell you right now. I think Ogunjobi's done as a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think they're going to cut him. Yeah. I think they're going to go with
or try
this.
To trade him.
Yeah, maybe. But the fact that he's hurt the last 2 years off and on, I don't know how if they could get a fifth or sixth rounder for him, but I'm going to call it right now, way early. That kid's not going to make the roster this year. He's not a kid. He's old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are going long. So if there's anything else you want to say about the Pittsburgh players?
The only thing is, you know, Ryan Watts, probably a really solid special teamer. He's kind of a long cornerback, played for Texas. So he played against good competition, but, you know, they even mentioned, I've heard online, people talking about him moving to safety. You know, but I just think he's a depth piece, you know, and who knows what he'll do when he comes here, but he's kind of like, he's built like the cornerbacks they already have, you know, he's really long.
That's what they like.
And
Joey Porter,
like these guys
Trice.
That are tall, Porter, Trice. But you know, I don't think he was a bad pick at all.
No,
but,
I think he's going to be a practice squad guy, or he's going to get cut, but what do you want from whatever?
Do you see anything on him, Scott?
Yeah, I did. He's a big kid who'll knock your block off if you're not watching.
He's great in run support, too.
Yeah.
Big, strong kid, runs 4.55. And they changed the rules of the kickoffs, right? So they're looking for people who can scoot down the field and tackle people. I watched this kid come out of the secondary and tackle running backs and tackle these people on the film that I watched. And I'm with you, dude. And I think he'll make the roster. I think he's a special teamser. But I think with as many returns as there's going to be now, you got to have somebody that tackles. And we didn't always tackle well the last 3 or 4 years. So for a six-round draft pick, we'll take him and see where it goes.
He doesn't have the straight line speed of a NFL corner.
Yeah.
But he does have the speed of a safety.
Yep.
So, I do think they're going to move him to safety.
And he played some safety.
Yeah, he's going to move to safety.
So, but I think, you know.
And here's what I think in the box safety, because like Scott says, this guy will.
He will.
This guy will hammer
you. Right, right. And that's the one thing that they said in his strengths going into the draft. He has an opportunity to play right away in special teams.
Yep.
They thought he could, you know, he would be somebody who could come in right away and play special teams. So, do you want to look at the Cowboys?
Yeah, we can. I'm just going to say this.
A couple of people? All right.
Yeah. I like the guys the Dallas Cowboys took.
You weren't going to jump off a ledge?
No, I mean, I was mad. I wanted JPJ, that he was there when they picked in the first round. I wanted Frazier to fall to them. Loved Peyton Wilson. They could have had him wound earlier, but I think it was because of the injury stuff. They end up taking a linebacker from Notre Dame who I don't think is great. I think he's okay. But if you look at their individual players, I like them. Okay. So I would give their draft a B. It's Jerry Jones. It's frustrating to like the Cowboys. I think the tackle.
Yeah, I don't like him at all, but go ahead.
Guyton is if you looked at this, if you watch a film of him getting off the train, he was a pudgy little doughboy. Like, this guy's, he's 6'7", he's got some weight, but he doesn't look strong. I think he's going to play. I hope if they stick him at left tackle, then Dak Prescott's going to be out by week three. But I'll give him a B. I like their players. Neyland was my sleeper at end, but he has one move. It's just knocked the offensive tackle on his butt. He's a power rusher. He has no other moves. It's a good power rush, but it's not like he's got T.J. Watt and he can do either way. The cornerback they got out of Wake Forest was probably my ninth best cornerback on the board. Nothing wrong with him. He's going to play. I didn't like the linebacker out of Notre Dame as much as they did. But all in all, I'll give him a B.
Okay. And what did you give the Steelers?
A+.
A+. Okay.
Number one pick draft in the whole league, but see, you asked me to come with winners and losers.
Yeah,
and we're running long, so I think Philly in Dallas's division had another just fantastic. They know what they're doing. They got the two best cornerbacks. They got Mitchell and DeJean out of Iowa, and I think DeJean might go to safety because Mitchell was the cornerback out of Toledo who's just phenomenal. They ended up taking Shipley. And then they got freaking Trotter, the linebacker.
Yeah, like and 155.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved him. And we'll see. They always have a good draft. But I think that was one of the top.
Scott, the Phillies got our guy out of Florida State, Johnny Wilson.
They got Johnny Wilson, figure out a way to use him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know who else had a great draft was Baltimore. They always have a good draft.
Yeah, they're solid. They're solid. According to Mel Kiper Jr., they're always A+.
Well, Wiggins, they got Wiggins, and then they got Dez Walker, who when you look at Dez Walker, look at his size and speed when you get a chance to take them. And then they end up with TJ Tampa, the corner, and then they got Rosengarten like in the fourth or fifth round. I don't even know when the hell they drafted him. And that guy's a moose who's gonna probably play guard or right tackle. So they had a great draft too.
Well, I wish that Tampa Bay had picked TJ Tampa.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
I thought that would have been perfect.
That would have been great. And thank goodness the Atlanta Falcons took Penix, because I don't know if the draft would have turned out for the Steelers if they didn't. Yeah. And I love these teams that never have really done anything, right, that all of a sudden become geniuses on draft day.
Absolutely.
That take quarterbacks when they have a million other needs, and they just signed Kirk Cousins to a multi-year deal.
$120 million.
Not to mention.
A godly amount of money.
The best edge rusher from Alabama was on the board, and they have had the least amount of sacks in the NFL for four straight years. And instead of taking him, they draft a backup quarterback.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's going to sit there for three or four
years. And I got to say this. You remember that Dallas's defensive coordinator, who pissed away a Super Bowl against the Patriots, is now the head coach in Washington, and they killed it. They got Daniels, the wide receiver. They got probably one of the best defensive tackle, Newton, out of Illinois. Then they come back with my guy out of Michigan, Sanders, still the cornerback.
Sanders still the defensive back.
And then they get McCaffrey at wide receiver, and they get Sinnott out of Kansas State as tight end. Like, they killed it.
Yeah.
And here I am as a Dallas fan going, well, great, the Eagles and I always call them Redskins, but Washington football team both killed it. Oh, and by the way, the Giants got Neighbors, Newbin, one of the best savies, Theo Johnson out of Penn State, the tight end, and then they got Tracy out of Purdue. So everybody in Dallas's division killed it. Now,
how about them Cowboys?
Yeah, shut up. Scott just got nominated for the Eat a Dick Award for the league.
Sorry, it just teed it up for me.
But how about the three of the worst drafts? Atlanta. Absolutely. They've taken a quarterback as a backup in round one. Now, listen, if Cousins gets hurt, this could be a genius move. But if it doesn't, and they needed the best pass rusher on the board and they didn't take him, that's going to be a bad
one. The defensive end they took out of Clemson wasn't even high on my, like, I didn't think he was one of the better defensive ends.
No,
the kid
I'm
out
with
of Clemson.
You.
And dude, here's the thing too. They play on turf in Atlanta.
Right.
Those edge rushers are devastating on turf, right? Devastating on turf. And that guy was teed up for them.
Yeah,
and
he was right there. Right there.
And they go with a second rounder. Now, this may work out for them. Time will tell whether this was a good draft. If he ends up being good and Cousins gets injured for whatever reason and he keeps him in him, I liked him as a quarterback. I didn't like him in round one, but that's an iffy one. And I'll tell you who else. I didn't like Miami's. Chop Robinson's coming out of Penn State.
Chop Robinson didn't want to come to Pittsburgh, by the way.
Who cares? But he's got – Chop Robinson had all combine, no production at Penn State. He was good. Wayne Wagner likes him. He's got short arms. I didn't like him. And then they took Paul, the linebacker, who is as stiff as a board and stands straight up every time the snap goes off. So I didn't like either one of those picks. I'm a Penn State, huge Penn State guy. Love him. But I don't know. I'm not sure Chop Robinson's going to be an NFL pass rusher when he couldn't get to the quarterback in college. So I thought Miami's draft was so-so.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Pittsburgh fans, I didn't like Cleveland's draft either. They took Hall out of Michigan at defensive tackle. They got Watson, the linebacker.
They got the offensive guard out of Michigan, Zach Zinter.
Okay, he's okay.
They got Jamari Thrash, wide receiver
who
out
cares?
Of Louisville.
Yeah.
Linebacker Nathaniel Watson out of Mississippi
cares?
State.
I like Watson.
Yeah.
But he is a one-trick pony. That dude is a run-stuffing machine, and he will hit you.
Right.
But he's only going to play he's not playing third downs.
Well, let me give you their NFL Network's day one, day two, and day three draft grades. Their overall grade was a C+ for the Browns.
They paid that guy to write
their
that.
Their day one grade was a D.
No shit. Didn't I just say that?
Yeah. So you're right. But they did give them.
So why am I not getting paid as a GM?
They
somewhere?
Gave them A minuses for day two and day three.
Good for them.
What was the grade on Deshaun Watson, like at X or something like that?
They don't have any first round picks for the next 20 years.
You know?
Yeah, that's going to go as one of the worst signings.
Ever.
That's going to go up
ever.
That's going to be one of the worst things, contracts in the NFL history, because it's all guaranteed. And that's right up there with the Herschel Walker trade that Dallas pulled off.
How's Ryan Leaf these days?
Yeah, how's that working out?
Well, who is Jamarcus Russell with the Raiders?
Yeah. Oh, maybe the worst.
I mean, there's some flop.
The only equivalent, like, horrible trade is the Pirates trading for Chris Archer. It's along those levels.
It was, but at least they were in a pennant race and they tried. Right, either sitting on their hands. But anyway, before we get to the Pirates.
I didn't want him. Let me ask you a question. Like last year, you said there was a draft pick that you're like, watch this guy.
Yeah.
And then there was a first round pick. You're like, this is who is your sleeper of the draft, and who is your bust? Who's like, this guy's not even gonna be in the league.
My sleeper was Logan Lee, the defensive tackle out of Iowa.
Okay.
That's the guy I loved.
Okay.
You talk about a bust. I didn't think many of the busts went. I'm not going to say Chop Robinson's going to be a bust. Let me look real quick at some of these. I did not. I'm not sure that Jerry Rice's kid is going to be great pro at Arizona.
Okay.
Or the Chargers, I think.
The Chargers took him. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other kid I think you need to watch, they also took a running back out of, I think it was Tulane, called Vidal, V-I-D-A-L.
I liked him. I'm sorry.
This kid is explosive. And they also took, I don't think they took Colson, too, so I don't know what the hell they were doing. But watch, I'm not sure Jerry Rice's kid is as good as his name is. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a lot of production at USC. I mean, he's big, he's fast, but we'll see.
Yeah. See how that translates.
I'm not going to call him a bust yet, but before we leave, Scott, you can get right in this conversation because we have nothing to talk about the Penguins. the Pirates.
Oh, and do we have to?
We do because we're from Pittsburgh.
God,
but
this gives
one
me
of
gas.
The guys that Greg is way down on is Keller, the pitcher. When they re-signed him, he's not a number one, and
he's not.
And I agree, he's a two or a three, but they didn't pay him as a one; they paid him as a two or a three. But he lost again yesterday, and their offense is just absolute garbage.
Yeah, I think that maybe, just maybe, the Pittsburgh Pirate organization is the worst organization at developing pitchers.
Oh, by the way, the Pirates lost 4-0 today.
Well, Oakland's a machine.
They got swept by the Oakland Athletics. So just. I digress.
We don't have enough time for me to talk about my disdain for Nutting and what he's done to the region and what he's done to the fans. And it's just amazing to me that people still care. I tried to watch. I swear to you, I love baseball. I tried to watch them.
I do too.
And without pitching, that Jones kid throws heat. It's kind of fun to watch. You know, averages a strikeout an inning. He's a pretty good player to watch. But we're talking about a pitching staff and a bullpen here, right? I mean, we're talking about a pitching staff and a bullpen. You don't spend money, you're not going to bring good pitchers in. And he doesn't want to spend any money. He's a businessman. I give him that. But as being a champion or being, you know, a crazy over-the-top owner that wants to win a championship for the people of the region,
he doesn't care.
No chance.
He doesn't. No. So here's some stats. Last 21 games, the Pirates are 5-16.
Is that good?
Okay. Their run differential.
Just look at their batting average.
-41.
Look at their batting average.
Yeah, I took the under. You took the over.
I did.
And I'm feeling
you're
great
right
now. You're
the only one that took the under out of five.
I don't believe in this franchise. And what's pathetic, and I'm like with you, Scott, I grew up, I loved the Pirates. I lived, breathed, died with the Pirates. I can't even root for them anymore.
Well, Scott and I had said this before. We were both huge baseball fans, and we had agreed, I think, last year on a podcast that baseball's broken.
Yeah, no doubt.
When the Dodgers sign every free agent that's available and then end up with Ohtani and he gets a $2 million a year salary and defers it all like a Bobby Bonilla deal where he gets all the money when he's done. But that's beside the point. The Pittsburgh Pirates were going into this year. We thought they were going to be good offensively. We thought their weakness was their pitching. Well, let me just tell you. They missed on Cruz. He's not an MLB shortstop. They're going to have to move him to first base because he can't play shortstop and he can't hit against lefties. And their number one first-round first pick of the draft, their catcher, is it Davis, I think?
Yeah,
Henry Davis.
He's a miss.
He needs to be moved down. He needs to go down to AAA.
So
I'm trying to
missing.
Love this kid. I'm trying to love him. He looks like a Major League Baseball player. He doesn't play like one.
Even when he's in the box, no gloves, no batting gloves. I think he's pressing right now because his average is so bad. He's not a Major League catcher. But why would you take a guy 1-1 if you don't want him at his position, and B, they took him for his bat, and it's – he can't hit right now. I think it's in his head. I think he needs a break.
I think they need to change. I think they need to get rid of Derek Shelton.
Think it's his fault.
No, I think they get rid of him and get rid of the batting coach. Like you, if you're going to make a move, make it now. Because you're going to bring Paul Skeens up at some point. I mean, if they're going to be this bad, leave Paul Skeens down at AAA for the rest of the fucking year. Like, well, seriously.
Let me ask you this, though.
Like, just,
do you think the pitching coach is telling them in meetings to go ahead and take third strikes right down the middle?
Oh, my God. Like, they
that's
just,
not what the plan is, okay?
And I was I was listening to The Fan today, and somebody brought up a really good point. O'Neill Cruz is starting to look like Polanco. Like, he's got all these amazing physical tools, but he doesn't know how to play baseball. He doesn't. And guess what? I don't think he's ever going to know how to play baseball. When he gets the bat on the ball, it goes, you know, great exit velocity, another metric. But hell, how often does he actually make contact?
Well, and he looks to me like he's a platoon player. He can't hit lefties.
No.
And another thing, he's, what is he, 6'7", something
like
that?
Yeah, he's too tall. Put him at first base.
A, they don't have a first baseman. And I
they
mean,
don't, and they don't have one in the farm system.
Right. They don't have one at AAA. They don't have one at AA. Move him over there. Bring up the shortstop in AAA. And I just had his name, and it left me because we've had too much rum.
That's
what the
awesome.
Hell it was. What, do you remember, Scott, what who the shortstop? Is it
Polig?
Begins with a P.
I get lost in the shuffle because they always talk about how fantastic the minor leagues are. And then when these guys get here, they don't know the fundamentals. And if I'm 6'6" or 6'7", when these big guys like Polanco, if you can't go the opposite field, if you can't get your hands inside the baseball to drive the ball to the opposite field, you can't hit major league pitching.
Especially lefties.
Alvarez was the best guy they had in the last 15, 20 years that could do that. Polanco could not get inside the baseball. They could not get inside. And the same thing with this Cruz kid. Can't get inside the baseball. They don't teach fundamentals anymore.
No, they don't.
Starling Marte was off the charts, five-tool player, and couldn't run the bases.
Right.
So they don't develop.
Polanco,
you were right. I said they don't develop pitching. Duty, you were right. They don't develop.
They don't develop at all.
And listen, I know Endy's hurt, right? Rodriguez. He's going to be the catcher, and I think
eventually,
he's okay, right? But I think there's a kid at AAA, and it begins with a P, and
position does he play?
Shortstop.
Piguero.
That's it. I thought I was going to say Palermo.
No, Piguero.
And he's ripping up. I don't know if they have his stats on there in AAA, but as of last week, he was killing pitching, and he's really good defensively, and they don't have a first baseman. This Tellez experiment, 2 years ago, this kid hit 30 home runs. Last year, the guy couldn't even make contact.
Okay, so
get him out of the lineup.
Piguero,
get rid of him.
Piguero so far for this year, 97 at-bats. He scored 16 runs, 30 hits, one home run, 21 RBIs, three stolen bases, 309 average, 346 OBP.
How many errors?
And 810 OPS.
Yeah, and he's a good fielder. So,
he's a good fielder.
And he's fast as shit. Put him in short where he belongs. Move the 6'7" guy over there, and if you throw one over his head, you should be cut. Put him at first base because he is a shortstop. He can get grounders. Scott, your thoughts?
The thoughts is you could take Derek Jeter or Cal Ripken or Ozzie Smith and put them at shortstop, and this team's going to win 70 games. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the owner is the worst owner in the history of sports.
And my prediction?
Under.
He is going to look when the lease is up at PNC Park in 2030.
He's not moving.
He's famous last words.
I think
he's going to lean really, really hard on the city and the taxpayers to say, we need X tens of millions of dollars worth of improvements at PNC Park.
The amount of money, there's only one reason people go to Pittsburgh Pirate games, okay? It's because it's the best park in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And that provides income for the bars, the restaurants, the parking structures, everything that goes on. In this town, they make money during baseball season because of the ballpark. I'm a Phillies fan. You know that. And I still say it's the best Major League ballpark I've ever. And I've seen all but five parks in my lifetime, all on the West Coast. Pittsburgh Pirates, for me, especially a night game when the city lights up, is the nicest ballpark I've ever been in. And that's why people spend money. It's not like the ticket prices are absorbent, like people go because of the park, so they have no choice. This city is not going to go anywhere without a Major League Baseball franchise. It provides income for the entire city. And there's, you don't go to the Pirates because you want to watch baseball. Am I wrong about this, Scott?
No, you're right about it. I think what they should do is they should make every night fireworks night, because these users around here, that's the only way they're going down. You put fireworks out there, you think they're giving things away.
And Dollar Dog. I went to a Dollar Dog night a couple
whatever
years
that
ago.
Is. That's how you get people in the stands. Better shortstop doesn't matter. Better
yeah, bring
second
in a concert.
Doesn't matter.
Right, have a concert play. Have Bon Jovi play in center field after the game.
I like that. I like that.
I mean, I went to Dollar Dog Night one time, and all these hicks from all around Pittsburgh, you couldn't get to your seat because the line at the concession stand was down into the where the aisles start for a freaking dollar. I said, you know it's still a hot dog, right? It's not an $8 hot dog, but you're still eating a ballpark hot dog.
Yeah, they're still
it's not even steam correct.
Chicken claws and chicken beaks in that.
But
thing
they also put it a couple nice bars at the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, no, it is.
It's a good
when
event.
You go,
it's a good night out.
Yeah,
it's
but when you go to
it
a
really
ball game,
is.
Scott, when you go to a ball game, when I go to a ball game, do you know what I'm sitting there with? A beer, peanuts, and a scorecard.
I'm scoring. And I'm getting a foot long.
I'm scoring the game. But you know what? Everybody else is there, like, taking selfies, doing social media shit. They're all on their phone. Nobody's watching the frickin' ball game.
You know why? Because the scenery.
Bad.
If you look at the city, there are people there. There are people there that if they didn't put the nets up, they'd drop about three a night. Because nobody watches the game.
The last Pirate game I went to was a couple years ago, because I just refused. I gave in. My cousin and her family, their little kids came in. From Utah, and they want to go to a Pirate game. They used to live in Cleveland, so they would go to Cleveland. They come over for a Pirate game, so they want to go to a Pirate game. Okay, fine. I'll give Nutting a few shekels, the asshole. So we went to the game. The Pirates were beating the Cleveland Indians by like 8 or 9 runs. Like they took like a big job. And then the Indians started chipping away. I started rooting for the Indians. Like, I there's a part of me that wants to see this team fail to the point where I would hope, and I know it's not going to happen, that Nutting is so embarrassed that he'll actually sell the team, and I know it's never going to happen. Because
he has no pride.
He's already said, like, oh, I'm just going to give the team to my daughters. Well, that's great. You know, we're going to go from, like, you know, 90 losses to 100 5 years in a row. Because nobody's going to give a shit.
$50 million a year. No one asks any questions.
This is what I've heard. He looks at the only time he meets with his general manager during the year is before the year. And he pushes across the desk a piece of paper.
Don't go above it.
Don't go above this number. And that's it.
Well, listen.
That's what you got.
We said baseball's broken. There's a reason there's no floor, right? It's the players' union, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
He's only operating with, he gets revenue sharing from the Dodgers, the Phillies, the
Yankees.
He's
making a shit ton of dough.
And because of the park, he still get people going to the games when these guys suck. I don't know if they've had more than 6 hits in a week.
But
every game this week.
Oh, and something else, too. Whoever that kid was that took that picture with Bob Nutting, they had the T-shirt that said, sell the team. And he got that kid's my fucking hero.
That is awesome.
Now, that kid was awesome.
Now, I'm going to give you two moments, because I'm a Phillies fan, before we get off this thing.
Oh,
that
Christ. Phillies? Jesus.
No, at Pittsburgh, when I went down to games, two. Craig Biggio was on his retirement tour.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is how I just...
Didn't he play for 27 years?
Yes, but he was good for 27 years, right? And I'm not a Biggio fan. I'm not an Astro fan. I'm none of that stuff. But when he came up for the last time at PNC Park, the Pittsburgh fans, who are knowledgeable, gave him a 3-minute standing ovation.
Right.
It literally brought tears to my eyes because it's baseball. They know baseball. And the last time that I brought tears to my eyes, and I don't even give a shit, was when McCutchen was announced the first home game when he resigned.
Against the White Sox, yeah.
Well, I don't care who
it was
with.
It was last year.
People, when they said, and now batting is Andrew McCutchen, when he came back to the Pirates after being with the Phillies, and the stadium gave him a 5 or 6 minute standing ovation when they had to stop the game. It literally brought tears to my eyes. That's how much I love baseball.
Oh, great.
And
I'm glad Pirates fans can't like do a standing ovation to like last year's Pirates World Series MVP, because that's never going to happen in my lifetime.
Well, when they bring Skeens up with this Jones kid,
you might get
Keller as the number 3.
I don't want to hear it.
Well, I think
can't
you're wrong.
Fucking hit.
Well, they that's okay, but Skeens means you could win 1-0. And Jones is good. And Keller's a 3. Now, if your first three pitchers are Skeens, Jones, and Keller, you got a staff.
Yeah, you got a staff, and they lose 1 or 2 to nothing every night.
That may be. But I think they missed on Cruz, unfortunately, because he still has hit a baseball since I went to watch him in Altoona. He has hit baseballs harder than anyone I've ever seen live, except for one shot when I was in Milwaukee and Ricky Weeks hit it with the roof was open, closed, and he hit a home run that hit the back wall in about 1.9 seconds. And that you heard the sound of the crack of the bat before the ball hit the back of the wall, but barely. It was the hardest hit ball I've ever seen. But I think they missed on Cruz, and I hope they didn't miss on Davis. I don't think they're good scouting. I don't think they're international.
They're terrible
good.
At development. They and are I, that's terrible it. At
just
going to
say, I think their development is horrible, both offensively and defensively. Yes. But I don't think you can blame Shelton. And I know the pitching coach isn't going up there saying, take 2 strikes right down the middle. I'm telling you.
You mean the hitting coach?
Yep, sorry. Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say.
Lack of talent, lack of spending money, that's what it costs these days to compete in Major League Baseball. You can't have one team have a salary, total salaries of $400 million, and one has $15 million. It just doesn't work. That's what makes the NFL so special. You can have a team in Green Bay, you can have a team in New York, and they compete because they're under the same restrictions. And
right.
Major League Baseball doesn't have that, and they don't care. They don't care. Attendance is at an all-time high in Major League Baseball, which is beyond me, but it is. So
with the worst commissioner.
Worst commissioner and worst product on the field right now. They don't play. No. I mean, there's very rarely you see a team that like knows the fundamentals.
But I think to our previous point of why attendance is up, people will go to say they go and just take a selfie.
You're right.
I don't think they go to watch the game. I think attendance is up.
I went to Dodger Stadium just to say I went to Dodger Stadium.
Listen, I got really? 5 stadiums to go. I'm going to go to all 5.
What do you have left?
L.A.
Okay.
The Dodgers. I got Oakland and San Francisco.
You better hurry up with Oakland.
Yeah, well, I missed it. I don't care. That was a shithole anyway.
you ain't getting out of Oakland.
Arizona.
Yeah, I've been there.
Arizona, yeah. And there's one more, and I don't remember who it was.
Milwaukee?
No, I've been to Milwaukee several times.
Okay.
I got a foul ball in Milwaukee. That's a great story.
Well, I told you the story about I got to go to last season at Detroit Tigers, the old Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, I've been there several times.
Yeah. I feel I had raw sewage dripping on my head.
I told you, Milwaukee's the stadium where I saw the chicks next to me's boobs because Jose Canseco ran by.
Oh, that's right. Scott, did you hear the story?
That is an awesome story. I think I did hear that one, but I'll –
Yeah, please regale us with that story.
The hot blonde was between me and her husband, and Jose Canseco ran out to right field when he played for the A's in Milwaukee, and they said she says Jose, I love you, and he walked by, and then after the inning, he's running back into the dugout, and he goes, you know, if you love me, you'd show me your boobs, and she looked at her husband, and the husband gave her the nod. Yep, go ahead. What the hell? It's Jose Canseco, and she flashed him. Right next to me. I mean, it was as close to my right earlobe as I could get.
Very, very funny. That's right up there. That is awesome.
I turned around and bought his husband a beer saying, I want to shake your hand for marrying that.
That is awesome.
But Milwaukee and here's the other one that I don't tell. The first time I was in Milwaukee, we did it was a night game. We were there the day before. So we had nothing to do during the day. So, of course, what do 4 guys do that love baseball? We go to the Miller Lite Brewery.
Excellent.
Is that not Anheuser-Busch? That's in St. Louis. It's
it's Miller.
Old Milwaukee.
Miller. Yeah, Miller. It's Miller. So we went, and not only did our day get better, I know we're running late, but when we're on the tour, when you're done with the tour, they give you 2 drink chips. Behind us was 4 nuns on a tour of the brewery, and they didn't want their beers, so we got their beers.
Oh my God! If that was my great aunt, God rest her soul. She would have taken your tickets.
Chugged it. So we're just like, all right, man. They actually have a beer outside at the end of the tour, where the brewer, where they pour them, whatever you want, Miller Lite, Miller right. High Life. So that was, you'd think that would be the end of the story.
Okay.
I'm listening. We're going back to the hotel to get ready for the game, and traffic is absolutely standstill. I'm like, what is going on here? We're going to miss batting practice, and more importantly, we're out of beer. Like, this was my friend and two of his work acquaintances. One's right. now a judge in Lock Haven, PA, believe
nice.
It or not.
Nice.
Craig, if you're listening, I'm sorry I used your name. Anyway, we're in, and we finally get up there. We get, as we creep up, we see this house on the right where there's police, there's 30 cars around it, mm-hmm. and there's yellow police tape all around this house. We're like, what?
Jeffrey Dahmer's house.
Yes.
No.
We saw Jeffrey Dahmer getting taken out in handcuffs.
Oh, my God.
After we had 37 beers coming through the Miller Lite tour.
He looks like a nice fella. I wonder why they're arresting him.
I have no. We had no idea, but I swear to God to you, we looked to the right, and I'm like, look, they're taking that dude out in handcuffs, right? And there was 30 people. It was the night they arrested Jeffrey Dahmer. I saw it.
Scott, you've got to be on the podcast of what I might have been the best story I've ever heard.
That is awesome.
God, that is just great.
And we didn't know who he was, right? Until that night when we're done, and Kate, my buddy Casey, God rest his soul, died of Huntington's disease at a very young age. After this, we're in bars.
Yeah.
Right? In Milwaukee. We're hitting it out. And we get this news flash on, and they show the house and the cars and the helicopter there. And they pulled up Jeffrey Dahmer, and they said they found body parts in the freezer. I'm like,
that's the wildest story I've ever.
That's the best story I've ever heard.
And here is the best part. Casey was pissed because when we got all the nuns' drinks, yeah. we drank them before he got his extra. Like, we all chugged it. The three of us chugged it. We had a great stories from that ball trip, and I know we're late, but I'm not going to remember to do this one more time. We're in Cleveland, suburbs called Rocky River.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I lived in Cleveland.
All right,
I know Rocky
so you know
River.
Rocky River?
Yeah.
We went to a college bar.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, we got there a little early. We were drinking, and there was a sign on the wall that said 3 hard-boiled eggs for a dollar. And I'm with my idiots, and we're drunk at 3:00. The game's tomorrow, right? We traveled. We went from Detroit to Cleveland and Pittsburgh on the way back in Milwaukee. So I said, hey, to the bartender, I said, give me 3 eggs. And I said, okay. He gives me the 3 eggs. My buddy Casey was talking to the guy to my left. He turns around, and I hit him in the forehead with a hard-boiled egg. Just hammered him. And the eggshells on his forehead. Right. And we all giggle and laugh. Well, he gets hammered. Now, this guy is the most unthreatening. Well, he never been in a fight in his life.
Yeah.
When he yelled at a guy, he threw me forward to get punched. That's what we did growing up. Sometime during the night, it went from college yuppie bars with their collars up to a biker bar.
Nice.
Okay? And to make a long story short, at some point, a biker bar was shitting between me and Casey. Well, Casey thought it was funny. He tapped a guy in the shoulder, and when the guy turned around,
he didn't.
He hit him in the forehead with a hard-boiled egg,
didn't.
Just like I hit
a
him.
A biker.
Yeah, big dude. And I'm 2 stools down, right? And Casey's laughing his ass off, pissing his pants, and this biker was not amused. And he looks at me, not Casey. He looks at me and gives me the, come here. And I'm like, nope, I didn't do it. Go ahead, punch him. I don't care. He says, no, you, come here. And he says, if you guys are still here in 30 seconds, I said, I get it. You're going to kill me. He goes, no, I'm going to kill all of you. So awesome. I'm like, get the car. And Casey is so drunk and is so laughing so hard, I got to pull his ass out of Rocky River Bar before the bikers beat our ass. But when we got home, I'm going to tell you what, we laughed our asses off because Casey, he was the last guy in the world that would have done it.
Oh, my God. That's a great story.
And in
story.
Chicago, we also saw Darren Dalton and Mickey Morandini of the Phils making out with 2 chicks outside a bar in Chicago one day. We were
in Wrigleyville?
Yeah.
Down in
Wrigleyville. It was down in the middle of Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think
Morandini, Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
I don't know, but they were both married. I can tell you that.
He's from Leechburg.
Darren Dalton was married to the Hooters founder.
Yep,
how the hell is he cheating?
Well, this was a great podcast. I think we could tell stories. Scott and I worked for years together, and if we get on another podcast, I think he and I could share some stories.
I'm sure you could.
Together, but you know what? This is a great podcast reviewing the draft for the Steelers.
Went
and the
a
Cowboys.
Little long. We apologize.
No. You know what? Hey, it's great. It's a hang. It's you not only talk sports, you tell stories. And we'll see how this all works out. I all due respect to the person I heard this from on, it was either NFL Network or ESPN or one of those, but he says, you know what? All these drafted players right now, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't really know
how they're going to work out. They're all ranked. Yeah, we got paper. So Tom Brady was a freaking sixth-round pick out of Michigan.
Brock Purdy's starting in the Super Bowl.
And he's starting in the Super Bowl. He was Mr. Irrelevant. So
let's go see who's right.
Scott, any final thoughts?
Michael Penix with an eighth pick or whatever it was. Because Brock Purdy's starting in the Super Bowl. You just don't do it.
No, you don't do it, especially.
Well, unless Kirk Cousins, you know, shatters a ball on the first play.
Yeah.
Testicle blows up.
They're going to stink anyway, and you come back and get your quarterback next year. I would take that edge rusher. Out of Alabama.
They have the least amount of sacks for
five years. Yeah, we're sitting there at the 3-3-3 club, and Duty's looking at me like, oh, this has got to be the edge rusher out of Alabama.
I said he fell.
And then, honestly, Scott, I was on Twitter or X or whatever the hell you want to call it now, and Doran Dickerson has some kind of connection. He always had like the pick like
30 seconds
to 45 seconds before everybody else did. And I looked at Duty. I go, Doran Dickerson said it's Michael Penix. And the look on Duty's face is just like, he's looking at me like, this has got to be the first time scoring Doran was wrong.
Yeah. He's drinking more than we are.
He was wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Holy hell. That whole bar, Scott, was like a "Are you shitting me?" vibe.
Yeah,
yeah.
But not only that, but that just meant that another guy dropped towards Pittsburgh.
Because I was happy. Take all them bum. I mean, I'm probably going to be a good player, but right there when you just signed Cousins, no chance. But you're right. If it doesn't happen like that, dude, Pittsburgh, this thing might fall completely different. It just
right.
might.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. Have everybody, just remember, you can send us an email, basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. It's basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. You can
Search us on Twitter.
Search us on Facebook. You can find us anywhere you find your podcasts. Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey. You can find our podcast. We are going to be broadcasting not only again from the 333 Club, but we got an invitation to broadcast from the Head Keeper in Greensburg, which we're going to do. We're going to be investing in some new equipment. We're going to get some computer equipment that's a little bit more mobile. We're going to get ourselves a new soundboard, which we can have four sets of microphones and headsets
guests.
And some guests. We kind of restarted this thing. We stuck with our podcast provider because we got a really good thing going right here. And we love to have guests on like Scott. So Scott, again, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate it.
Quite an honor for me, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.